Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the MM Forging Limited 2Q FY23 post-result conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, welcome to 2Q FY23 post-result conference call of MM Forging Limited. I also take this opportunity to welcome the senior management team of MM Forging Limited. We have with us today Mr. Vidyasankar Krishnan, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Venkatakrishnan, Chief Financial Officer. I would now invite Mr. Vidyasankar Krishnan for his opening remarks to be followed by question and answer session. Also, may I remind you of the safe harbor. The company may be making some forward-looking statements that have to be understood in conjunction with the uncertainty and the risk that the company faces. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jayaraj. Good evening, everybody. This is Vidyasankar Krishnan, MD of MM Forging. We have ended the half year with a turnover of 681 crores and a quarter with 347 crores. On a consolidated basis, we have crossed 700 crores for the half year, with 704 crores of EBITDA stands at 18.9% for the half year and 19.3% for the quarter ending. We have forged about 36,000 tons and sold 35,000 tons. We are on track to cross 70,000 tons for this year. Probably, we should end up between 75 and 80, as we had earlier indicated, 80,000 tons for the whole year as such. Sales between exports and domestic has been roughly equal. Just one second, please.
Sir, should we begin the question and answer session?
Yeah.
Thank you. We will now.
No. I think he only needs to. Can we go for Q&A, sir?
Yeah, one second. On a tonnage basis, exports tonnage stands at 113,600 tons and the domestic tons at 20,000 tons. Roughly in the ratio of 40%, 45% exports or 55% domestic sales. These are the brief numbers. I'm now open to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, Mahesh.
Sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. I just wanted to know your broad view on the business outlook. I mean, compared to June quarter.
The person you are speaking with has put you.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Just wanted to know your view, business view, I mean, compared to June quarter, have you seen more traction on domestic side and on export side? I mean, how is the business outlook on both segment? If you look next 9 to 12 months, how do you see the business shaping up on both geography? That is my first question, sir.
Okay. Very, you know, loaded question, not in the negative sense, but in the sense of a very difficult question to answer at this point of time. But I would say we are still bullish. We expect to end this year at about 1,400 crores, 1,350 to 1,400 crores of turnover, and next year we would expect to cross 1,800 crores of turnover.
Okay.
We are also developing, continuing to launch and develop new parts, even as we speak, across the board, both with domestic customers and export. And we expect, we are seeing huge traction across the board. So that is going to be really buoyant. Coupled with a strong domestic economy, we would expect to knock on the doors of 2,000 crores in FY24.
Yeah, that's heartening to know, sir. Sir, on export side, which are the geographies you are currently exporting, and where do you think the growth momentum seems to be high?
Sure. The disclaimer to that is the overall macroeconomic situation. But looking at the way things are shaping, I think China plus one is becoming a reality, and even a trickle will mean MM4Gs will be flooded with orders that it will struggle to cope with at current pace. So, it augurs well. In spite of recession, I think we, I expect the situation to be very positive for MMF. Yes, you were asking about which geographies we serve. We serve the geographies of North America, Europe, South America, and India.
So what proportion of our business comes from the Europe? Because that is the one geography which is showing signs of weakness all over the world. So how do you see, and you said that the China plus one policy is being played. I mean, that is looks quite evident now that everyone is trying to be, set up a new supplier in India. But have you witnessed any inquiry flows in that fashion where suppliers are, buyers are looking towards India more from manufacturing viewpoint?
We are seeing that happen, and even today we have won a new order for approximately 40 crores per annum, and that goes towards the replacement of procurement from the Far East. So India is positioned to take advantage of any of the trends. Europe constitutes 17% of our sales, India 52, US 21, and South America 10, approximately.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjaya Satpati from Ampersand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I couldn't really catch the numbers that you gave for your volume and all the guidance. Can you please articulate it again?
Sure. We have achieved a turnover of 681 crores on a standalone basis for H1 F23, and for Q2 F23, 347 crores sales, again on a standalone basis. EBITDA for the quarter stands at 19.3%, and for H1 for the entire half year at 18.9%. We expect to end this year at approximately 1,400 crores, and the next year we are targeting 1,800 crores, virtually knocking on the doors of 2,000 crores of turnover. On the tonnage side,
yeah,
we produced 36,000 tons in the half year, and we expect to cross 75,000 tons for the full year. And in the next year, we expect to cross 90,000+ tons at the bare minimum.
Understood. And can you give us the split of your exports between Europe and America?
I just mentioned that. So 17% is Europe.
Yes.
US is 21%. South America is 10% of overall sales.
Understood. And so your capacity utilization right now is how much?
Our capacity utilization at the end of the year should be 75,000 tons on an expanded capacity of 130,000 tons.
Thanks a lot, sir. So it looks like you are essentially looking at second half to be something similar to first half. Will your margin improve?
Margins, margin is a very dicey word to answer these days. So I'm not going to stick my neck out. I would say that margins will be at least static for the reason that we should see growth countered by some inflation on operating level. We see steel slightly cooling off and so there should be some relief on that front. However, fuel oils could remain sticky and we could see some inflation elements there. Plus, overall, the trend on manufacturing side in terms of operation costs could go up a little bit. So all that will be should be countered by increase in sales. So by and large, margin should be stable.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir.
Yeah. This capacity utilization at 57%.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Peter from Sema Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. So that last part we can catch it. Capacity utilization, how much was
sorry?
How much was the capacity utilization you just mentioned?
57%. On an annualized basis. Assuming we'll do 75 tons on a capacity, on a fresh capacity of 130,000 tons, we would virtually have added the last 10,000 tons of capacity in the last month of the year. So on the capacity available right through the year, if we see 75 divided by 120.
Okay, sir. In terms of raw material, have you been able to go through your high cost inventory, or are you still holding any high cost inventory, and do you have any pass through?
Inventory is what is there in the in stock, and that remains. You cannot reduce it or increase it beyond the point. I mean, you can increase it recklessly. That's not a problem. But we cannot reduce it beyond the point. So we can play around a little bit with buying and stocking. However, we have to consider so many things that material also is required for production. So we haven't been able to do too much in the inventory, and at the same time, net to net, if you see, raw material prices are only higher now than they were at the beginning of the year or the financial year.
Okay, got it. And
you lose some.
So by when with the production cycle, by when do you think this recently low cost inventory will come into the play? And how you can get rid of the old one? Like how many more weeks or months? Q2, Q3, will it be possible to...
We don't account it that way. And we really can with you. We don't account it that way. We account on a weighted average consumption basis. So if inventory comes in at lower rates, it brings down the consumption of the material consumed. It's not FIFO.
Okay, sir. My question is then, sir, the revenue per ton, which was very high in FY22, going forward for the FY23 and 24, from that level, how do you see the growth or degrowth, sir, revenue per ton? Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Mr. Vidyashankar, are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I on EBITDA, yes, Malikya, which page is it?
Sir, in the revenue per ton, which FY22 was a height, so from that level, how much is the room to go up or down in the next 2 years?
I would say we would be static over the previous year's levels.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir. Best wishes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, just on the tonnage that you spoke about, sorry, I don't know if I noted it down correctly. You said export tonnage was 13.6 thousand tons for the first half, or 16,000 tons?
13,600 tons.
And domestic was 20,000.
22,000, yeah.
22,000. Okay, so that's how you get to 36. So, and what was it for Q2? Total tonnage?
I don't have the number with me specifically for the quarter. Between domestic and export, I don't have it specifically in front of me for the quarter.
No, we
can mail it to you. We can mail it. We can message you or something.
Okay, sir. So the other thing I wanted to understand was there is a big sharp increase in other expenses compared to the first quarter of this year. So can you explain the reason for this almost 8 crore jump?
Travel has gone up considerably. And so have some donations made. Other than that, there's nothing specific to remark.
Okay. And sir, in terms of when we are looking going forward, like, what is your outlook in terms of the export side of the business, given various geographies and how you're seeing things?
Europe will be the joker in the pack. However, what will also happen or is expected to happen in Europe is the war situation that continues beyond January is energy prices will skyrocket. As energy prices skyrocket, customers will increasingly move away from European suppliers. That is a positive trend. So there may be overall reduced volumes from Europe because of reduced demand. But our share will go up smartly and sharply. And therefore, we should remain largely unaffected.
Got it. But, I mean, Europe is only a third of your export. So, just in terms of overall export...
It's only about 17% of overall sales as well.
Correct. So, 48% of total sales is exports. So, so in that sense, how are you seeing like US and South America? I mean, do you see growth there?
Those markets are likely to be range-bound. South America more positive than USA for the reason that the US also is not too strong at the moment, and with higher interest rates, housing will fall in the U.S., followed by auto purchase as well. So far, the auto market there is doing holding up, but we expect some kind of a slowdown there.
Got it, sir. And so just last question from my side. In terms of, like, from an operational aspect, raw material cost is anyway a pass-through for us. But in terms of the conversion cost, do you see some further upward pressure in terms of cost which will pressurize the margin, or do you think that incrementally we should not see too much pressure?
We will see, when I did discuss the outlook, I do expect pressures on conversion costs at our end continuously over the next few quarters, for the reason that inflation is likely to pick up over the next 2 to 3 quarters, and going to a higher base from Q3 of next year onwards, will start to decline very sharply. The next two three quarters, I would expect inflation to stay up. So we would see increases in price of fuel oils, and steel is expected to be muted. Overall, mixed bag, but with a positive bias, with a view that costs will go up rather than be contained. However, this should be managed with overall sales growth. So overall, EBITDA margin should be intact. There is an earlier question on sales realization, and I'd like to answer that with a little bit of data. FY22, we ended up at about 74,000 rupees per ton, 73,000 rupees per ton. And in Q1, it jumped to 86,000. In Q2, to 95,000. And averaged for this year at 90,000 rupees per ton. Even if you take away a little bit of other income, etc. So, sales per ton should definitely increase from 73,000 rupees for the previous year per ton to about 85,000 rupees per ton. It's a decent jump. Largely on the back of much more value-added products.
Got it. So sorry, one more last question. Sorry. Given the dollar rupee depreciation, do we see a benefit for us, or will that be largely a pass through for us?
It will be a benefit, direct benefit. It's not a pass through at all.
So our contracts will be dollar or euro denominated, right?
Mostly, other than one or two, barring one or two customers, it's largely exchange rate. Either way, is MM forging the handling.
Okay, and the freight cost is also coming down. So will that again benefit us? Or
yes, tackle freight costs are coming down, and freight movement is sharply coming down. So that also will benefit. What will happen is that we have been bearing some portion of freight increases, and customers have been bearing the brunt of the rest. What will happen is if freight rates fall below the threshold where we are bearing, that will be margin accretive. Even otherwise also, if freight falls and customers doesn't fall below the threshold, even then it will be margin accretive because it just inflates both the top line and the bottom line. So that takes to both ways, sales or the freight rate drop will be good for us.
Got it. Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramakrishnan Station from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on EVs. Could you give us some more color on, what sort of traction is the company seeing in the EV space, especially how are things progressing at Abhinav or Brazil? Could you talk about orders that the company might have won thus far? And, what sort of revenue targets in the EV space do you have in mind, sir?
Some really good news is there. Just a few days back, we fitted our motors onto the first vehicles directly at our end. And we've seen good within quote traction, literally. And these motors are, this is under development. We see a lot of positivity over there. In fact, it is an auto, and I test drove the auto myself. It's really amazing. And there's no sense that, no vibration, nothing. And we feel really excited about it, and there's a great future for our products in that space. So looking at translating this into revenue, we have done some forecast and calculations. We expect to have a modest 23-24 at somewhere under 25 crores of sale. And thereafter, we expect to do anywhere above 100 crores in FY25.
Okay. So what vehicle category have
you... These numbers could shift dramatically, hopefully upward, if there is customer traction. not if, when there is customer attachment. It's very simple.
Okay. So, sir,
what kind of vehicles are we servicing? Yeah. Are we planning to serve right now 3-wheelers, 4-wheelers, and next will be 2-wheelers. We're a bit late into the 2-wheeler space, so we're not really hurrying it up. But we would like to focus on the 3- and 4-wheeler market.
Okay. And sir, what sort of investments are we looking at in the
100 crores in the next 18 to 24 months in the EV space?
Okay.
Yeah, this will largely be in testing, prototyping, and serial production, batch production, and serial production facilities.
Okay.
We would initially probably set up a facility on a leasehold property, and then launch our own, move into our own facility once it's ready.
Sir, would you at all like to name customers you are engaged with on a on an ongoing basis at all?
No, not right. Not right now, and also later, because not our policy to disclose customer names. Customers don't want us to do it as well.
Right. And sir,
the prospects are really finger licking good.
Okay. Okay, that's good to hear, sir. And then my second question was on your revenue target for FY24. You said, you know, you could possibly be looking at 1,800 crores and even close to 2,000 crores. No, I'm just trying to understand this bridge between the revenue target in FY23 and FY24. So what in your mind will lead to this sharp growth in revenue, sir, in FY24? Which geography will drive that revenue growth? Will it be organic, you know, OEM volume growth, or will it be wallet share gains or new products? How will it look like?
What geography will drive it? India will drive it. First. Second, there is OE growth. Second, there is also wallet share growth. We've launched a slew of new products. I've been saying that over the last couple of years. So all that is coming into bulk at various points of time. So that also translates into wallet share.
Yeah. Because I was thinking that this growth is strong, especially given the fact that, you know, we could see commodity prices softening from here on. So in the light of that, 1,800 to 2,000 crores of revenue guidance seems pretty strong. It's nice to hear, actually.
See, if commodity prices soften by 5 to 10%, that will have a 50% impact on us, 40 to 50% impact. So possibly we could see 100 or 150 crore dent. So notwithstanding, I'm projecting this on constant commodity basis. If there's a dent here or two, I think when growth is that strong, I don't think we should be too concerned about degrowth happening on account of commodity prices.
Very nice, sir.
That is something which is, now when we say it's passed through, it's also mentally passed through.
Right, sir. Perfect, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Gemawat. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. So, first of all, congratulations for a continued strong set of numbers. So, my first question was on the segment-wise mix. So, what was the mix for CVs and PVs in this quarter?
Almost those numbers are held static. I do not know how. Almost to the decimal point, they're holding. Let's say 82% CV, 11% PV, and 6% off, 7% off.
Okay, so our PV segment seems to be performing well right now.
PV seems to be doing reasonably.
Is it more towards the domestic market or the export market, sir?
Mixed, both domestic and export.
Okay, so what is our outlook on the PV segment going ahead? What kind of mix are we targeting in the next few quarters?
PV will go up, but the silent thing that, you know, we have not remarked upon is the off-highway segment. 4% for the last couple of years, 4.4 in FY22. Now it is 6.5.
Correct.
That's creeping up. So the share of CV from FY22 has fallen by about 2%. So off IBA is something that we are focused on globally. That's probably paying some dividend there.
Okay. Understood, sir. So my next question was on the
On the PV side, we are set to launch some products, both domestic and export, in the PV space. So, always strong for PV, but let's face it, PV parts are light, okay? So, PV and the off-highway will easily overtake it, even if the numbers are less, with higher value and with more heavier parts.
Okay, so realizations will grow.
Ah, exactly. But anyway, PV adds the mix.
Okay. So on the margin front, is the with the new products that we are talking about, which will increase realization. So will the margins be in line with the CV segment, or will they be lower compared to CV?
I didn't get that last point. Margins will be in line with CV.
CV segment. Our margins in the CV segment.
Yeah, oh, okay. Margins in the CV segment. Yes.
Yeah. So, the margins in the PV and the OHT segment that we are targeting, so will they be in line with CV segment, or will they be lower as compared to CV segment margin?
Generally, as a rule, PV is a tough market in terms of margins. Generally.
Okay.
Because it's a mass market.
Correct.
And therefore, globally, if you see, PV parts are slightly lesser than CV parts.
CV parts. Correct. Okay. Understood.
You have the scope for huge volumes.
Huge volumes. Yeah, correct. On terms of volumes and realizations, there will be much more.
Correct. Ultimately, it's...
So on the EV side, so we have made a new acquisition in the EV motor space, I believe.
Correct.
Could you give us some information?
Broadly in the EV powertrain space, starting with motors.
Okay, EV powertrain. Okay, starting with motors. And what other?
Starting with motors. Yeah, we will get into gearboxes and controllers as well. So we are actively looking for opportunities in both the spaces.
Okay, and
we come up with our own products for controllers and gearboxes.
Okay, have you received some orders for these products, sir?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, perfect. And so, how do you look at the integration happening of this business with the with our current business?
Let me be brutal about it. They're pretty disparate or distinct. So integration is largely in terms of execution.
Okay.
Yeah. The EV business has very little to do with the coding business insofar as components or the technology is concerned. However, they keep serving the same customers, and therefore there is a huge connect between them.
Okay. Understood. Okay, thanks, sir. And
also, market access is everything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, the brand equity of the current business will certainly help the entry and the growth of the child business, of the EV business.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to focus on. So, this will help us gain more business.
100%. Yeah.
Correct.
Everywhere we are given an entry only because of the parent.
Our current brand image, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, before I go to the last question on the CAPEX side, so we are maintaining our CAPEX guidance for the year?
Yeah. We have forecast to spend around 200 crores for the remaining of the year. We spent 90 crores. We would expect to spend another 200, but I do not know whether we have the ability to spend 200. in the sense of the very speed of transaction. So I would expect somewhere close to 200 so that we could do in the next 5 to 6 months. Taking the total close to about 275, 300 crores for the entire year.
Okay, perfect. And for the
and
next,
for the next two yeah, years, I'm coming. And yeah, for the next fiscal, I know this is going to be our next fiscal. So we have planned as of now an overall outlay of around 500 crores, 550 crores for the next 24 months.
Okay.
With 90 having been spent, 450 is yet to come, or 460 is yet to come by way of spending. That will take place over the next 24 months.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so
and,
much.
That will be funded next, that will be funded by about 250 crores of debt and 200 crores of internal, 300 crores of internal.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandi from Goldfish. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for taking my question. I want your a little bit more color on this China Plus One opportunity and also some opportunity that might come in Europe. So could you touch upon in which geography where we can see this opportunity coming from, because this will be largely for the export market. So could you give us some granularity as to we are already seeing some orders which are shifting from China, or are we already seeing some inquiries which are coming from Europe? Could you spend some more time on this particular aspect?
Yeah. China, yes, we've landed a couple of orders from customers based in North America, and they are keen to look at more purchase from India, number one. And as far as Europe is concerned, every customer we've been talking to is very clearly aware that energy prices are up for renegotiation between manufacturers in the Eurozone and energy deliverers, particularly gas, etc. These contracts come up for renewal, we are told, by February. So, come January and Feb, there will be real mayhem in the market, because prices have gone up sky high, and everybody and his brother will be trying to look at, will be looking at how to stay with supplies. So Europe will hold greater opportunities for us as we go on. Market might shrink a little bit, no doubt. Overall sales may that is overall sales in the overall market may shrink for as Eurozone, but I would say MM Forgings will only stand to benefit from the changes that are being seen.
Sure, sir. So at least from Europe, we are not seeing any inquiries which we have right now, right? You are expecting my hand?
No. We are seeing a lot of cases. A classic case, a customer moved away from us from one part saying that we were high on part price because of steel and wanted to reduce our SOB, share of business. Same customer has come running back because he's not able to get supplies from Europe.
Understood. So, yeah, already seeing 10 movement.
All the heat that was there during negotiation, everything went down the drain, and now customer is closing up saying he's not able to get supplies.
Sure. Point taken, sir. Sir, second question is on your CAPEX, that you are planning a 450 crores of CAPEX over the next 24 months. Out of that 90 crores you have already spent.
Let me clarify. It's 550 minus 90.
Okay, 550 minus 90. And out of this, what would be the capex that you will spend on this new acquisition that you have made, or investment related to that new acquisition?
100.
Okay, 100. So so basically 550 minus 100, so 450 will be the investment in our core business, right?
Approximately, yes. All of you guys have forgotten that we have one more subsidiary called SVPL, Sewer Chest Vidyut, which makes alternators. So there we have earmarked another 25 crores.
Okay. Oh, right. So my question was that the larger capex will be spent in our core forging and the machining part of it. Now we are sitting on a 57% capacity utilization, right? In some sense. So
roughly 62. Stands at 62. See, it's unfair to add the bottom line because the bottom line is going to increase only in the last month of the year, if at all. So
sure.
We should look at only 120,000 tons of the day. So current capacity is 62.
Yes.
So why should we be pouring money when our capacity utilization is so poor? That is low. Nothing so poor.
Right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You can get some more
most of the capex that goes in the parent in the core business is into machining. Very little is going to increase our capacity from 120 to 130,000 tons. That's it. So we are more focused on utilizing our forging capacity and very intent on expanding our machining footprint. See, over the last 24 months, MM Forging has transited from being a forger with a machine shop to a supplier of machine components. Very clearly, we are seeing the effects of the transition in our operations.
Sure, sir. So, by the end of, let's say, FY24, what could be the share of the components that we could be supplying that would be machines, right? I mean, and where are we right now?
We're at about 50% right now.
50. Okay.
Yeah. We will end up at around FY24. We'll end up with about... We'll end up close to 65%.
Okay, close to 65% machining. And is there any rough number that every 1% increasing machining would probably help us earn certain margin in terms of basis points? Any rough number that or two?
You got me stumped there. I thought we had all our questions covered for this session. So we'll have to work that out and see what is the revenue growth from machining that will lead to ultimate EBITDA.
Sure. And last question, sir, from my side is you mentioned that your motors, the company that which you acquired, the motors have started, started getting used in the vehicles. So are these what prototypes that we are doing for some OEM, then they will run on the road and then we will find the testing or where is the stage, I mean, what stage this testing is going on, if you can help us with that?
It's a proto stage right now with most customers. And beyond proto, we'll go into bulk.
Okay, right. Okay, and you are expecting 100 crores in FY25, right? Revenue potential.
FY25, that's right.
Okay. Great, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, during this quarter, we have seen a smart expansion in the EBITDA margin. And this is despite the higher revenues from the domestic and OEM side. So just wanted to understand what is the reason of this sort of the margin and how much it will be sustainable.
See, what has happened is realization has increased per ton. That's a basic fact. Though domestic sales has gone up and everything, ultimately realizations have increased.
So what is the reason of the increase in realization despite that there is a weaker geography mix and plus that...
Focus on machined products.
Okay.
The huge investments made in the past and the continued investments on machine products. That has resulted in higher realization.
and that will continue to be the higher side because you are adding a lot of the capacity in the machining side, right, sir?
Yes, yes. We would expect it to go up.
Going ahead, there's a 30%, 25 to 30% fall in the steel prices. As you mentioned that there will be an impact of the 15% on the top line for a fall in the metal prices. So despite that, you are targeting about this 1800 crores kind of the revenue?
No, I'll be candid with you. I have targeted that on the basis of static raw material prices.
The static raw material prices. If there will be
15%, raw material prices degrow, doesn't matter. It's just pass through. So we should not be too concerned about that.
Okay.
Because it's something that's a factor of the environment and not a factor of our performance.
And Indian steel prices is now trading at the premium of the export prices. How does this impact on your raw materials basket?
Sorry, Indian steel prices are not a premium. Is that what you're trying to say?
Indian steel prices are trading at a premium versus the global prices. So, will it impact your margin in the coming days?
To a certain extent, yes. But with regards Europe, for example, energy costs there are shooting up.
Okay.
Indian steel prices will come down from October quarter onwards, October 1st onwards, Indian steel prices have to come down quite a bit.
Okay.
Already we are seeing huge corrections in scrap. So price of Indian steel will have to come down in the months ahead.
Yeah, and sir, in this last...
Competitiveness vis-a-vis Europe, I can explain. In Europe, energy costs are expected to go sky high in the next 2 months, and that will render steel production in Europe almost unviable. So customers there will have to pay through their nose for steel. Indian steel will definitely be far more competitive.
Okay. And sir, during this in last couple of months, we have seen most of the companies are going for the destocking in the export because of the cautious outlook. What is your take on this thing? So what is your planning for that inventory corrections? What is the current situation there?
So with customer demand, inventory changes take place automatically at MNC.
Okay. So have you
matched that on a monthly basis? Match that on a monthly basis with orders incoming, and the entire production planning and execution team is aligned to the task on a periodic basis. So we will increase some inventories where sales are expected and decrease inventories where sales are reduced.
Okay, thanks sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequin Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers. In H1, I feel I calculated, so we have done around 35,000 per ton EBITDA margin, roughly. So can we expect the rate to continue in the second half of it?
Yes, we should be able to sustain that. And this year, in fact, the projection was to maintain about 38,000 tons for the end of the year.
Okay.
35,000 rupees per ton for the whole year.
So per ton we can more or less maintain according to our target of 75,000 tons, correct?
Correct.
Second question is on the CV side of for the Europe business, how is it panning out? Management expected that there would be around 10 to 25% fall in. So what is the number right now? Is it even worse?
Surprisingly, CV in Europe has done quite well.
Okay.
quite well. Okay. So we don't see too much of a fall. It's because of this, you know, whether whole vehicle numbers also there haven't dropped by much. And our share also seems to be increasing.
Right. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rolin Nandu from Goldfish. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you again for giving me this opportunity. One question is on your interest cost. Typically, if I look at your interest cost as a percentage of overall borrowing, it's somewhere close to 5 to 6%, right, for the past 2-3 years. This is much lower than, typically the rate at which corporates borrow. Could you help us understand what is the reason? And going forward also, can we assume that the incremental debt of around 200-250 crores that you are planning to take would come at a similar cost?
Question. So basically, what we have done is we borrowed largely we've converted all our borrowings to Eurozone borrowings, and when interest rates we sense were low, we chose to lock in floating rates into fixed rates, paying a small premium. So as of today, MM Forging on the loans that it has is insulated from any interest rate changes because we have interest rate swaps in place from floating to fixed. We might have been paying point about 250 basis points additional, but generally we have stood to gain over it. And anyway, it's a measure of de-risking the organization. So looking at runaway inflation, runaway interest rates in Europe and US, we are insulated from it hugely.
Okay, so what you are saying is that large part of your borrowing is in euro-denominated bond, and that you have probably done a swap on that where the floating rate has been converted into fixed rate. Am I correct? I mean, is that a fair understanding?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right.
So I don't even bother what the rate on euro or US is. Other than it's slowing down business overall, it doesn't have a direct cash impact on MM Forging.
Okay, right. And typically, the cost of this swap would be included in other expenses, or will it be included
within interest itself.
And going forward also, are these kind of arrangements easily available in the market? Because you need to take incremental debt of around...
Please, let us be very clear. In this market, one should not go and do a floating to fixed conversion.
Right.
We have to ride the market, whatever currency we borrow in, stay put for some time, and as interest rates drop, take advantage of that. And similarly, take away the move to deals. At this point of time, you should stay away from IRS decisions.
Stay away from IRS. But then the overall, your interest cost as a percentage of your borrowing might go up, right? Because the...
There's no choice. There's absolutely no choice. You can't stand in splendid isolation all the time.
Okay. And there are no export incentives or those which are included in this interest, or no export linked kind of borrowings in our overall borrowing mix, right?
There in the working capital side, yes, there is an interest subvention.
Okay. So there also, I mean, I'm just trying to calculate why the interest costs are lower, so that interest subvention is also the reason why our...
Absolutely right. I must say that definitely the government has taken a boost for exports. It has gone a long, long way in shoring up the receipt of many exporters.
Right.
I mean, it's a clear, simple and clear support for exporters to focus on it.
Very clear, sir. Thanks a lot.
It's a very good move by government.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gautam Gosar from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a few questions. Firstly, on the realization part. So, sir, what would be the realization per ton for the quarter? Hello?
We are moving to the alternate number of Mr. Vidya Shankar. So, please.
Yeah, I'm back on. What would be the realization?
Realization per ton for the quarter.
Realization per ton for the quarter. Yeah. About 190,000.
And so, should we see this as a sustainable number for the coming two quarters?
It should. Given static raw material prices, this should be a. Since there have been a lot of discussions on degrowth in steel prices, so given on a constant raw material basis, this should grow, or at least be static. But if steel prices fall, I mean overall it's good for the organization. So I wouldn't be too concerned about this falling on account of raw material or even sales dropping on account of raw material. Raw material inflating sales is pure ego.
So secondly, so how much tons have we done from the 6,300 tonnage press, which got operationalized in June? So out of around 18,000 tons this quarter, how much would be from the 6,300 tonnage press?
About 2,000 tons from the 6,300 tons press.
Yeah. And like this will contribute to the higher margins which you've seen, right?
This is contributing to the sustenance of sales and the increase in.
So this is going to help increase our machine product mix, which we mentioned, like which will go up to 65.
It is not going to directly impact, but generally speaking, the products out of the heavier presses are all machined. So to that extent, yes. But not per se. Directly if you said, okay, whether that press is going to result in machining, no. But because the products out of that press are machined, yes. Oops. I might be splitting a little bit of hair here, but that is the way it is.
Okay. And sir, lastly on the Europe side, so are we seeing any order cancellations or deferment from Europe, or the scenario is opposite, like we are receiving new orders?
We've seen some. I won't say that we haven't seen. Definitely some orders from Europe have gotten cancelled, no doubt about it.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
So, thank you all for joining us this evening on the call to review our performance or analyze our performance for Q2 FY23. And we hope to be in this year positively with more growth coming our way. We expect to challenge the 2000 crore mark, albeit with, on a constant raw material price basis. We are not too concerned about deflation impacting turnover. We would be rather more focused on getting more tons out and managing costs throughout. So, thank you very much. And we also expect our EV foray to start bearing results over the next 6 to 12 month range.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you very much. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.